It's Sunday in the neighbourhood I have lived in for years. A neighbourhood in which I have experienced untold Sundays, just like this. Full of bird chatter and hangovers and open for inspections and moving vans and people riding two abreast in the bike lanes, deep in conversation. This Sunday, though, I am not bustling children out of the house on the way to the little book room for a last-minute birthday present before yet another birthday party in the Edinburgh Gardens. I'm not shopping or tidying. I'm not going out or coming back. This Sunday, I'm here, standing in front of the mirror in my bathroom, actually brushing my hair, feeling, idiotically, a tiny bit nervous before heading downstairs to meet the neighbours. I've lived here for over a decade now. It is only recently, though, I realise, collecting my jacket from the back of the couch, that we have all learned each other's names. Or perhaps they already knew. Perhaps it has been me who kept to myself. The arrival of first one baby and now another, both of whom sit now near the front door, putting sunscreen on themselves and each other and the door, has perhaps brought me, finally, to think of this as home. Before the children and Max doing his master's degree, living here, just the two of us, busy with work and a social life that happened for the most part somewhere else, I don't remember more than the occasional hurried hello from over the rubbish bins on a Thursday night. These days, though, the four of us make for a much more public performance. It was our baby, after all, who was strapped to me as I wandered the streets and bumped into
Gail,
who
used to live in such a lovely street in Brighton.
And who stopped me to
just have a tiny look at those incy-wincy little tootsies.
It was later, when that little baby with the incy-wincy tootsies was about three, wandering down the street dragging a giant stick from the park, that Greg from out the back interjected with a
yikes,
and speculated that the stick was in fact a broomstick. And it was Alan, always Alan, who told me what was going on with the council or how long it had been since the house up on the corner had anyone in it, or when the construction up the road was scheduled to finish. Neighbourly reports I realise now I have come to rely upon, drifting past Alan's place whenever there's something that looks like it might be news. Today is the hastily arranged street party down the back lane. My family, I can hear them, spills out the door, mopped up by Max, whose last exam was yesterday. He's singing now, outside, and the kids are laughing at his ludicrous song as he interrupts it for a
you coming?
And yes, I am coming. Imagining the neighbours across the street who decided just yesterday to cobble together this street party in honour of Giulietta, the old Italian woman who was born and lived and was then gone from the house that sold yesterday at auction to a young family who bought it with their parents and who hope, rumour has it, to divide it in two. When we turn the corner, I stop in the middle of the street, struck, touched at the scene before me. Trestle tables covered in beautiful coloured tablecloths. There's iced punch with mint and two plush red chairs on a rug someone has stretched across the concrete. Two handmade cakes tower over a table groaning with starters. Who did all this? How did they have the time? The other trestle is being loaded up with Ethiopian food, Sri Lankan stews, lasagna, bowls of chicken wings, mountains of rice. We were, they told us in a scribbled note under the doorway last night, in charge of salads, and I am glad now that we brought two, although frankly we needn't have bothered. The colours are beautiful. The smells are spectacular.
Not bad, eh?
Says Greg. It's gorgeous, I say, and it catches in my throat, but he's talking to Max now, recruiting him to help with something or other, and I put the baby on the mat. Magnificent, I think to myself. There's Zara, whose mother is lowering a hot pot to the table and smiling as she chats to the man whose name I have forgotten again, but who might be Alec. He works, knowledge I have but don't know how, in drug rehabilitation and has a partner whose name might be Marcus, but probably isn't because I'm hopeless.
Well, this is extremely pleasant,
says Gail, suddenly next to me, holding a marine-themed plastic flute of champagne with a strawberry in it. And I wonder, not for the first time, if she's as intentionally wry as she sounds. She taps a starfish on her drink with her apricot fingernail between sips.
Hear about Nonna's house yesterday?
She asks. It's sold, I say, watching her sideways for a reaction.
Yes,
she says.
Family. Seem pleased. Two generations, you know. Apparently they're going to share until they can afford to split the title. Sounds fun. Alec invited them here today, actually.
She says, gesturing to Alec, whose name is definitely Alec, and who is handing a plate to Max, who points at a bottle of wine on the table in front of him. He cocks his head in the universal quizzical puppy dog question face and I nod. He pours me a drink, talking to Alec now, whose name is Alec, and who is serving food in the relaxed manner of someone who knows how to host a dinner party for 75 people without breaking a sweat. He and his partner, whose name might be Marcus, are definitely responsible for most of the feast that lies before us. Gail bends down next to me to pick up an abandoned pita bread triangle which she tucks behind her glass.
Nice family, although they seemed a bit wary of us, to be honest. Suppose you would be. Ragtag collective of neighbours approaching you just moments after you bought a house. Goodness knows what they made of us.
She says, although I suspect she couldn't care less. We've adopted the universal watching the kids stance while we talk. Arms crossed, eyes meeting only sideways, slightly backwards lean on the heels. Zara, the greatest 13-year-old in the world, is showing a group of little kids, including mine, a giant chalk artwork on the bluestone.
This bit here is where the fairies live, okay? But don't go in there. That part my sister drew, and an evil wizard lives there. And he has a pet dragon named Kylie. Oh, and it's super, super scary. I'm going to draw the bit where Beyonce lives. Do you know Beyonce?
The assortment of kids who wouldn't know Beyonce if she bit them on the face nod in silent reverence. And just like that, they are welcomed into the fold. The baby is eating a grape, and Marcus, whose name might not be Marcus, is showing him a toy truck. The street party is shambolic and loud and fantastic. People come and go. The kids' games morph and split and change. There are bubbles and bike races and kids dipping in and out of houses, filthy and red-faced, in a daze of social engagement. Eventually, they set up a cubby under the table and sit there eating strawberries, their fingernails wiped from chalk. The baby has been recruited by Zara, who has dressed him up as a tiny prince. Even Alan, usually out the front of his house, shirtless, watering the garden, pauses at the edge of things, dressed in a mismatched tracksuit, sipping fruit punch out of a Mr. Men mug, a toddler driving a truck in circles at his feet. The sun sets and people peel off. Max and Greg and the two people I have always heard referred to as the scientists are drawing some kind of a map on a piece of paper, discussing directions or instructions, although to what, I can't figure out. The scientists made the Sri Lankan food and one of them gives me a snap-lock bag full of Sri Lankan spices that is pinched and sweaty between my fingers now. Some of the kids are re-emerging now in pyjamas, hair wet and brushed slick. Not mine, feral and mind-boggled, off in a world of their own, even the baby. After a while, I'm speaking with the man whose name is definitely Marcus and his partner, Alec, whose name is definitely Alec, about the incident with Luminous Ute Guy up the road. I'm talking about it because they headed for me suddenly like the tape had sped up, their faces gaunt with concern.
You were attacked in broad daylight,
says Alec.
With the kids in the car. Max was just telling us.
The adults are around us then, a tight semicircle of concern. What happened? He came at you with a cricket bat because of a car park? Is this the guy with the orange ute? Did you call the cops? There are stories then, about friends of friends, about the police, about robberies in the surrounding streets. Greg, who hasn't said anything, speaks confidently.
He's not going to hurt anybody,
he says.
Not saying you shouldn't have reported it. Man's a pig. But he's all piss and wind, that bloke. Always has been. Mind you,
he says,
if you do want something done about him, you just let me know.
I laugh because I don't know what he means. He nods at me sincerely, then smiles broadly, which clarifies nothing but makes me like him all over again.
We're a pretty formidable neighbourhood watch around here, you know?
Says Gail. And I realise that feeling as comforted as I do by a declaration of solidarity from a middle-aged white woman and a wiry little history professor probably doesn't make a whole lot of practical sense. But I'm not questioning it this evening. I sip warm wine and notice the couple from number 100, my couple, I think of them as, since my first encounter with them in the street, slipping in and gingerly lifting the upside-down plates that now cover the various dishes, peeking underneath like they're looking for insects under rocks in the sun. The look they exchange is the classic expression of mutual delight experienced by students pretending to be calm in the gleeful moment of discovering a source of free food. Zara's mum, who has been on the receiving end of a lecture by Ellen about the brickwork on the front of the terrace over the road, is rounding up Zara and her sisters now, speaking in low tones to them under the table and tucking her plates and brightly coloured tablecloth into a green bag. She spoke to me earlier in broken English about learning to cook as a child, and I indicated to her that I regarded Zara as a sensation. As she leaves, Zara issues the little kids with a high five and a Pokemon card each. It's a genius move. They will never forget her, the official queen of the neighbourhood. And as she trots after her mum and her sister, she says breezily over her shoulder,
"Come to the playground. As for Zara, you're in the club now."
The children's faces are wide with grateful astonishment. Beneficiaries of her casual generosity, their little fingers are white with how tightly they're holding their Pokemon cards, rectangles of paper the value of which, only seconds ago, was completely unknown to them. Max gestures now to indicate the baby is dropping off to sleep. We agree wordlessly to head off. The others are speaking about childhood in suburban Melbourne, in Adelaide, in South Africa, Italy. As the sun dips behind Gail's house, she declares that her cardigan is
doing its best,
but it
might be time for an old lady to turn in.
Alan, as though waiting for his cue, unfolds himself stiffly from one of the red chairs and says,
"I be off now."
And we wave them off as we move together to the tables and begin dismantling what's left of our afternoon.
"Oh,"
the girl from number 100 is saying.
"Are you sure?"
Because of course the couple from number 100 is being handed all the food. Nobody can resist them. Their faces are so young and fresh and open, and they gravitate to one another dreamily, vaguely, almost accidentally, so that when you're speaking to one of them, the other drifts like a jellyfish into orbit and slips into the kind of sideways hug that implies not exclusivity, but a kind of performative generosity. We also leave with more than we came with, the salad bowls and some lasagna and half a pav. The sleepiness hits me like the north wind as we head up the stairs, but it's a happy tired, and I realise that now, after all these years, we're part of something we used to walk through. Later, when the house is silent, Max and I stand shoulder to shoulder, eating pavlova in the kitchen. The street lights outside brighten as the sky fades to blue. My fingers smell delicious of Sri Lankan spices and sunscreen and pav. I close my eyes and breathe in the night air from the open window. It's so nice to be home.